Haven't all of us been taught that fear and procrastination are the two express lanes to regret? Haven't we been taught that a smart, hardworking person who is afraid of change or risk or failure will seldom, if ever, achieve all they want? They will, in fact, end up regretting the chances not taken. Weren't we taught also that that same hardworking person who is always going to do it someday will have the same regret? As there will always be something that pushes it back to tomorrow, next week, next month, after the kids move out, or after they have enough money saved. Fact is, they can come up with any number of very probably valid reasons or justifications. We were also taught that fear and weakness are only expressed by weak people, and that procrastination is a fault in our character or some expression of laziness. I'm Troy Graham. And I've been afraid, and I have procrastinated, and I've gotten both wrong for a very, very long time.
Welcome to the CAP Knowledge Network podcast series presented by Troy Graham. In this five-part series, Troy Graham will be presenting his thoughts and perspective on fear, communication, culture, and leadership. Episode 1. Fear and procrastination, what we get wrong, how it works, and ways we can use it.
This is something of a culmination of years of thinking about and talking and even doing some research on creating a podcast. And I've always found a reason not to start one. Even as I was writing the script, I found myself distracted and filled with doubts. As I started the setup, I rechecked the microphone 6 or 7 times, readjusted the script reader, made 4 or 5 different audio and video samples to listen to myself until I finally made the decision to press on through. The reality is the push really didn't come from me. It came from my wife. A few weeks ago, she turned to me and said, "You need to do a podcast. You need to take what you know and get it out to people. Don't worry about what they think or what will happen. Just do it." Until that moment, I'd always thought my fear and procrastinations had extremely easy justifications and valid reasons not to pursue something like this. Fact is, I thought doing something like this could cost me a legitimate job. Who would want to hire a wannabe celebrity, or nobody wants to bring someone on board who has a side gig? And these could be legitimate concerns. But the opposite could also be true. Maybe this is where I connect with the right people, the people who share my vision, my values, my beliefs. Maybe this is what creates a big break. So was it my fear that was limiting me? Was I getting in my own way? Maybe, just maybe, I've been looking at fear the wrong way. Maybe all of us have. What I've noticed is that a lot of our time, our fear is actually misplaced. We don't need to conquer our fear. We need to direct it, frame it, use it to change. So instead of being afraid that doing a podcast will cost me a legitimate job, I need to say to myself, by not doing a podcast, I'm going to cost myself that perfect position with that perfect company that perfectly aligns with my values and beliefs. There are lots of quotes, books, speakers, and theories about fear. When I was prepping for this podcast, I did quite a bit of research on the subject. I read some books, watched some videos, and Googled some quotes on fear. Here's what I found. Most of what is out there only addresses fear as a counterpoint to courage or determination or perseverance. They all refer to fear, and few of any of them address it. These quotes, books, videos, and speakers may be inspirational or motivational to some people, but do they really address what it means to be afraid? Do they speak to a person whose primary issue isn't access or inspiration or determination, but is in fact just plain old fear? For the most part, they simplify it. or they tell you to move past it, or deny it, or work through it, or find a way around your fear. What they all want to do is to get you where you need to be, and in their opinion is finding your act of bravery. As I watched and read, I couldn't help but picture Bert Lahr as a cowardly lion from The Wizard of Oz, who wanted some courage so he wouldn't be afraid all the time. And of course, I thought of Gary Busey's definition, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. But the reality is fear is real, and the addition of courage doesn't mean we aren't afraid. It's literally hardwired into our DNA. It is a human being's number one survival instinct. And yet, in the modern world, we do all we can to move past it, move through it, or see it as a moral failing or a challenge to overcome. We don't use our fear. We don't embrace our fear. We don't recognize that fear is the one motivator we all truly need. Hundreds of thousands of years, a small, defenseless primate had to make a decision. Were they more afraid of predators or of starving to death? Was the fear of possible attack greater than the certainty of death by starvation? All of us are here today because one fear outweighed another. And over millennia, the fight or flight response was passed down until it was almost the definition of what it meant to be human. More than anything else, this hardwire response shapes our civilizations, our cultures, our personal choices. We make decisions every day based on our choice of fears. Are we more afraid of option A or option B? Yet for most of us, we do this unconsciously and never actualize why we do what we do. Fear is an emotion, and emotions have one job: to transmit information. We get information to the thinking part of our brain two ways: through our senses and our emotions. When we move past fear or deny it, we are in fact refusing to take in needed information to the thinking part of our brain. Anyone who knows me knows my love for science fiction. Now, I am just as likely to watch a sci-fi movie with a 2.0 IMDb rating as I am to read socially conscious science fiction stories that handle very heavy subjects in a way that smooths out the edges just enough to reach its audience. One of my lifelong favorites is the longtime BBC production, Doctor Who. And if I'm being honest, it has shaped my views and outlooks on everything from leadership to fear. One of the great quotes on fear comes from a 12th Doctor episode, Listen. It goes something like this.
Look at it. Does it scare you?
Yes.
Well, that's good. You want to know why that's good?
Why?
Let me tell you about scared. Your heart is beating so hard. I can feel it through your hands. There's so much blood and oxygen pumping through your brain. It's like rocket fuel. Right now, you could run faster and you could fight harder. You could jump higher than ever in your life. And you are so alert. It's like you can slow down time. What's wrong with scared? Scared is a superpower. It's your superpower. There is danger in this room. And guess what? It's you. Do you feel it?
So there you have it. Our ingrained, involuntary response to a stressful situation gives us our very own set of superpowers. Now, if we take a look at science versus science fiction, maybe we'll see what's actually happening. When we experience fear, our body actually changes. Think Incredible Hulk, less green, less smash. Our breathing rate increases. Our heart rate follows suit. The peripheral blood vessels in our skin, for instance, constrict. Central blood vessels around our vital organs dilate, flooding them with oxygen and nutrients. And our muscles are pumped with blood, ready to react. This includes the muscles at the base of each hair. That's why we get goosebumps. Now, when a human being's hair stands on end, it doesn't make much of a difference to their appearance. But think about a time when we were quite a bit hairier. Made us seem larger, more formidable. Fear is literally trying to make you look like a bigger threat and a tougher opponent. But it doesn't stop there, because metabolically, our levels of glucose in our blood go way up. This is our fear response, getting ready to hit us with a shot of nitro if the need arises. Plus, our levels of calcium and white blood cells in our bloodstream see an increase, getting us ready to handle any damage we sustain quickly, like having an internal set of Mattox ready to spring into action. So, how does this get triggered? Well, it starts in the amygdala, which is an almond-shaped bundle of neurons that forms part of your limbic system. This is the oldest and most primitive part of our brain. It plays an important role in processing of emotions, including fear. It also handles emotional learning, decision-making, and modulates our memory. The amygdala, this very old and very primitive part of our brain, kicks up this info to trigger activity to the hypothalamus, which activates the pituitary gland, which is where the nervous system meets the endocrine system. That's the part of the body that handles and regulates our hormones. One of these hormones that the pituitary gland secretes is called adrenocorticotropic. This tells our body to start releasing cortisol. This raises our blood pressure, our blood sugar, and our white blood cells. The circulating cortisol also turns fatty acids into energy, ready for the muscles to use. At the same time, the sympathetic nervous system, a division of the nervous system responsible for this fight or flight response, gives the adrenal gland a little nudge, encouraging it to squirt a dose of epinephrine into our bloodstream. But it's not over yet, because the endocrine system is still producing catecholamine hormones, including epinephrine and norepinephrine, preparing our muscles for violent action. These same hormones also boost activity in our heart and lungs, reduce activity in our stomach and intestines. This is why you get butterflies when you're nervous. It slows down or stops production of tears and salivation. This causes the dry mouth that comes with fright. It dilates your pupils, giving you tunnel vision and reducing hearing. So once it triggered, you are bigger, badder, stronger, faster, more focused, and you are ready to go. Now, this doesn't mean that you're suddenly become the Hulk and senselessly smash whatever's in front of you, or turn around and run until you collapse from hunger and thirst. This is because your brain also comes equipped with the hippocampus, which is a brain region that is dedicated to memory storage. Helps control this fear response. You also come fully equipped with a high-functioning prefrontal cortex, which is part of the brain involved in high-level decision-making. These two centers assess the threat. They help us understand whether our fear response is real, justified, or whether we may have overreacted. If the hippocampus and prefrontal cortex decide that the fear response is exaggerated, they can dial it back and dampen the amygdala's activity. This explains why people enjoy watching scary movies or riding roller coasters. Their sensible thinking brain can overcome the primal parts of the brain's automated fear response. They get the rush of fear, but without any real danger, and the thinking part of the brain cools the system off fairly quickly. But something else can happen. We can freeze. Why do we freeze when we're scared? The idea of our bodies preparing to fight or run makes good sense from a survival standpoint. But how would freezing be of any use? An animal that simply stands rooted to the spot would make an easy snack for a predator, right? Fact is, most humans and animals freeze for a few moments before they decide what to do next. This is because staying motionless is the best plan in some cases. If you're a small mammal or well camouflaged, staying still could save your life. So now we know what can happen when presented with new or unknown emotionally triggering info. The primitive part of our brain begins a series of events that triggers fight or flight. But there's a third option. We can also freeze. This is where procrastination happens. Putting off a decision or delaying action isn't some moral failing or lack of drive, or even just plain laziness. It's an ingrained biological survival response. Just like that small mammal freezing in place to hide and camouflage itself, we do the same. We hunker down in the safety and predictability of our routines and habits. The most primitive parts of our brains are designed to keep us alive and make sure we make more little humans. We need to remember that just like our flight or fight response, our freeze response can be overcome by our hippocampus and prefrontal cortex. If we decide that the freezing response is exaggerated, we can then dial it back, dampen the activity of our most primitive parts of our brain. So if both fear and procrastination are hardwired survival instincts, but we can overcome both by using our more advanced, more evolved, higher thinking, what's stopping us from redirecting our biology to achieve our goals and find fulfillment? In the words of Captain Jack Sparrow, the problem is not the problem. The problem is your attitude about the problem. You see, most of us still view fear and our response to it as a sign of weakness. We fail to understand that we can use this great gift as a powerful tool. We keep waiting for bravery to move us forward, and we should be relying on fear to carry us through the stress. Our stress isn't a lack of bravery or an inability to manage anxiety. Our stress is allowing all those hormones and physiological responses to stay bottled up. It's like you're revving a V8 engine to the red line with the car still in park over and over again. You don't go anywhere. You make lots of noise, generate lots of heat, and over time, you slowly damage the engine. We need to accept that fear is normal and embrace it. We need to understand it's there for us to use, not for us to avoid. We need to understand that when we feel fear, when we're ready to fight, ready to run, or frozen with indecision, that it is not because we are weak or unworthy or incapable of achieving greatness. We must embrace our fear, redirect it to get what we want. Fear is a superpower. And the more afraid you are, the stronger, faster, and more durable you become. Your kryptonite isn't fear. Your kryptonite is the thinking part of your brain that tells you fear is bad and that you must, at all costs, avoid it. So here I am, redirecting my fear and overcoming my procrastination with my very first episode of my podcast. I'm putting my over-analytic and over-conscious thoughts to the side and moving forward with what I genuinely like to do, connect and share what I've learned with anyone willing to listen. Anyone who knows me knows I am a big Simon Sinek fan. In 2009, I was given a copy of his book by a friend of mine, and it sat unopened and unread for about 10 years. It was when I finally opened and read this book and several others that I truly began to understand how important purpose, emotional intelligence were to being a leader. For years, I had a title, but I didn't have the skills. I would always hit the numbers and would accidentally influence or inspire someone. But it wasn't until I went through some exceedingly difficult times in my personal life that I truly understood the awesome responsibility of leadership. It wasn't easy to make the change, and I've made lots of mistakes along the way. Decades of short-term thinking, micromanagement tendencies, and my inappropriate use of sarcasm has damaged many relationships. Many I was able to repair, but a few were damaged permanently. My hope is that I can use this platform to share the mistakes I've made and the lessons I've learned. But I also want to share what I'm seeing and where I believe the sales industry is headed. I want to share my views on current events, my take on the latest and greatest tech and techniques. And I hope some of my friends and colleagues will join me here from time to time. This first episode is just the seed, and what it'll grow into is anyone's guess. But I hope you'll join me as I grow and mature on this platform, and tell your friends to do the same. I look forward to being with you in your car or on your walks or during lunch. I want to build a community and connect with my listeners and viewers. My vision for this podcast is blurry at best, but I'm ready to leverage my fear and overcome my hesitation to start this journey. I hope you'll join me. Until next time, this is Troy Graham reminding you, fear is a superpower, and there is danger in this room, and it's you.
Thank you for joining us. We depend on listeners like you to promote and grow our channels. Please be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you like what you heard, disagree with it, or have some input, we invite you to add your comments, reviews and ratings below. Would you like more Cap Knowledge Network? Then toddle off and spy us out on YouTube, on our Cap Knowledge Network video channel. There you will find videos, interviews, a few quick hits, along with some of our curated content. Thank you, and have a splendid day.